good word. A few weeks ago, we passed out envelopes, building fund envelopes. If y'all still have those, continue to pray over them and turn them in. You don't have to turn them in with any cash or check inside. It just lets you know, as a point of faith, how much you desire to sow into our building campaign over the next couple of months to help catch us to that $50,000 that we need. Let me also say that sowing into the building fund should not replace our tithes and offerings. We definitely need our tithes and offerings. In 2020, we will have to increase our tithes and offerings by 29% to meet our faith step moving into the building and the things that we have planned. So that is a huge step of faith for us, one that we felt led of the Lord to do, and one that we feel moving into the building as a tool for the kingdom. God's going to meet us. And so he's always met us so far. He'll do it again. Amen? All right. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to get to that in a few minutes and read chapter 1, verses 18. But look with me for a second at a crazy Christmas. And so I just want to walk through some pictures. And yes, they're right there. That guy is definitely crazy, and we'll get back to him. Go to the next one. All right. I think this lady's overdone it just a little bit. How many of y'all think? Definitely you can see that she lives in the United States of America, right? And so maybe in Texas. Everything's bigger and better in Texas. Go on to the next one. Y'all not seeing. Yeah. I think they went just a little bit overboard. I think the last line of lights that they bought probably was a little bit overkill. And so I'm so frugal, I squeak when I walk, and so all I can think about is the light bill. And so probably LED lights are not near as expensive as the regular they used to be, but that's all I can think of. So I have a Boston Terrier blow up and one of those things that shoots on my wall that shows that looks really meager and sad, but that's the first thing I've ever put outside, I think. Go on to the next one. Yeah, they just went a little bit overkill there, too. Yeah. Go on to the next one. Yeah, so that looks nice, a little bit much. And so they're missing, there's some black spots up there they still need to fill in. And so crazy Christmas. Go to the next slide. Yes. Look at there. Look at there. Got the dogs barking. Go to the next one. Yes. Oh, speaking of Boston Terriers, guys, y'all got to look. Wait. Look at there. Amy and Scott bought those for me yesterday. So I'm representing Christmas and our Boston Terrier. And so, yeah, animals, a little bit much. Okay, yeah, stay there. Yeah, I think that's the new style for 2020. And so all the ladies, y'all do that. George, I think you could get there as well. And so go to the next one. Yeah, that's pretty simple there. Go to the next one. Okay, yeah. Yeah, Rick, that's for you. Gail? Okay, now sweaters, we're almost done. No, okay. Go to the next one. All right, yes. Yeah, this is definitely good, right? Right, okay. Next. Yeah. The birthday boy. All right, I don't know. Next year we're going to have an ugly Christmas as long as you don't buy them from Walmart, because y'all heard about the Walmart, the cocaine Christmas one. Not a good idea. Don't buy. Yeah, Sebastian saw that. Now I got to explain it to y'all. I got to preach sometime, y'all. No, joking. And Walmart Canada had a Let It Snow with drug paraphernalia of cocaine on their shirts. They quickly took it down. And it wasn't a mistake, because the instructions said the best snow you'll ever have. It had lots of drug. Not a cool thing. So I think they got in big trouble for that. Birthday boy, cool. Drug paraphernalia, not cool. Okay, let's go to the next one. Okay, crazy Christmas. This guy looks like he's about to hurt somebody, right? All right. That's how we feel sometime during the season. Last picture, not last, but yes. This is mom's. How many of y'all moms can relate? You don't speak to her during this week because she is going to explode because so many things are going on all at the same time. I felt like that a couple of times this week. It's just absolutely a crazy Christmas. If you agree with those statements, just turn to your neighbor that life can get crazy at Christmas and just say, oh, yeah. That wasn't quite as exciting as I'd planned it to be, but nonetheless. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Who said that? Paula, yes. The stresses of Christmas can get really crazy. And in just a moment, we're going to read a story of Mary and Joseph and the real Christmas crazy and talk about their life. And with Mary and Joseph, and I think with a lot of biblical characters, what we often do, we almost deitize these individuals. There's only one God, and that's God. And so, but we oftentimes, when we read about King David and the Apostle Paul and John and Mary and Joseph, we almost make them out to be a God. They were perfect, you know? But we have to realize these are real people. They had real fears, real struggles of faith. They had real relationship issues. They were real. As holy as Mary was to be chosen to birth forth the Messiah, she was still human. And my Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's only one sinless, and that was Jesus. She was still a flawed individual. Her journey of faith was probably similar to yours. She had her ups and she had her downs. She had her good days and her bad days. She had her doubts. She had her struggles. But we oftentimes see her as perfect, and yet she was human, so she wasn't perfect. Turn with me to, if you would, to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. This is first about Joseph. Then we're going to skip over to Luke chapter 1. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, everybody say a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Now, the Bible almost makes this story seem to be very, very sweet. I mean, it was just all perfect. I mean, Joseph, when he found out that Mary was pregnant, I mean, he was like, hallelujah, it's not mine, but, you know, good. It probably is not quite how it happened. In fact, the Bible says that he was a just man and wanting to put her away secretly. In other words, I am not staying with this woman. She's become pregnant by what he thought at that time was another man. We definitely are not getting married, but I don't want her stoned to death on the edge of the city, so I'll do it quietly. Life got a little bit crazy for Joseph that day. His world just fell apart. He had all these hopes and dreams of what life would be like, and all of a sudden, his world just got dashed. But you know the rest of the story. An angel appears to him and tells him that this baby is from God. It's the coming Messiah. So he stays with her, and we say, oh, how sweet. Those moments of Joseph's life were just a whole lot of crazy. My wife-to-be is pregnant, not mine. I'm stressed. I'm probably a little bit angry. I'm probably a whole lot angry. I'm very depressed. Then the angel appears. How many of y'all just have that angel show up in your bedroom, on a weekly basis? You know, nobody, I don't think. Not that it can't happen in 2020 or 2019, but it's just not a normal capacity of our lives. Crazy. Life for Joseph was a little bit crazy. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Starting with verse 28. And this is what it says. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled. Everybody say troubled. At his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him a throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, because I've never known a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, verse 29 says that she was troubled. Probably a huge understatement right then. An angel appears to her. That's crazy enough. He tells her she's pregnant. Now, that's really crazy because I've never known a man. Verse 30, the angel says, "Do not be afraid," which tells me something about this story. She was scared to death. I'm seeing an angel. He tells me I'm pregnant. I'm going to get stoned to death. Joseph is definitely going to leave me. The village won't understand what's going on. Not only all of that craziness at Christmas, but verse 33 says, "You are the chosen one who will birth forth the Messiah." For thousands of years, they have talked about that there would come a day when the Son of God would be born of a virgin. Now this angel is telling me I am the one. That's just a little bit crazy. She was human. She had to have been freaking out at that moment in time. What would I tell Joseph? What will I tell my family? Crazy Christmas. Then she travels to Bethlehem 9 months pregnant. That can't get anybody in a good mood, right? I think she may have cried some. I think her and Joseph may have had a couple of fights here or there. Just my thoughts. The Bible doesn't say, but I just think that probably happened. Money was probably tight. They had the debate when they were on their way whether they go to McDonald's or Chili's because money is super tight. And so they probably had some fights along the way when Mary's saying something like, "How come your ancestors couldn't be born in a village closer to ours? Why do we have to travel all the way to Bethlehem?" And then they get there and they find there's no hotel. Could you imagine Joseph going to Mary and says, "Sweetie, I have some good news and bad news. We are here. It's the good news. The bad news is there is no room in the hotel for us." And it gets a little bit bad. Worse than that, we get to stay in the barn with the animals. Could you imagine that conversation with a woman who's 9 months pregnant? Could you imagine the conversation? She probably told him, "I told you to book online a month earlier and we would have got there." She probably would have said, "If you would have just taken us earlier, we would have got there. Now we're late. There's no room." You know those things happen at in your home because they happen in my home. Because they were real. Real people dealing with some really crazy events. Joseph and Mary were godly people, but they still had sins and fears and struggles and worries. They probably felt a whole lot like you during the season we call Christmas. Life gets crazy for us all. The expectations of being with family and which side, do we stay with her side or do we stay with his side? And when do we go to all of these families? And life can get a little bit crazy. And then the thought of, do I really want to see, you know, uncle or aunt so-and-so that maybe you don't like very much? And I'm going to have to spend time with them on Christmas Day and life's going to be a little bit awkward. Then I have to go to this Christmas pageant and this Christmas production and this. And then I got parties and kids productions and family time and special foods. I got to make the pecan pie and I got to make the pumpkin pie. Oh, I still got to make the ham and the turkey and all of those things. And then you got to make cookies. The expectations to keep up with the Joneses because we got to have the best. Or at least we got to show it on Facebook like we have the best, right? Finances are tough. And then we look on Facebook and we see everybody else is having a super time. I mean, everybody else, like Cedric and Maria, are running through the woods in their new pictures, you know. They're just having this perfect little family. And we look and, you know, I said, bring down the socks, okay? And we look on Facebook just for a moment and Cedric and Maria look like their life is just perfect. And what does that do? Our crazy Christmas, not just as crazy, now we're depressed. Life can be depressing at Christmas. Loneliness. Amy Semple McPherson was the founder of Foursquare. She preached a service when she was in Los Angeles, California. And after she had preached that service, this is what she wrote in her journal. She said, I have preached to 7,000 people today, and now I find myself in my home all alone. You could be surrounded by all kinds of people at work and even at church and find yourself very alone at Christmas. Like Mary and Joseph, life can be crazy. So this morning, the question for us in this message is, how do we find peace of mind? How do we find calmness? How do we find the joy in our crazy Christmas? So number one, we focus on the meaning of Christmas. That's Jesus. We get so busy with our Christmas costumes and our food and our party and our family gatherings that we forget Jesus. It's like if we spent 3 months inviting hundreds of people to a huge surprise birthday party. We've spent thousands of dollars on the barbecue in the venue. We've spent all this time, and then we realize at 7 o'clock when the party's to begin that we forgot the guest of honor, the person whose birthday it is. Too often at Christmas, we do all of these things in the spirit of Christmas, but forget the birthday boy that we celebrate. His name is Jesus. He is Emmanuel. Matthew chapter 1:23 says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. We don't serve a God that's way up in heaven somewhere, and God, if you hear me, in the midst of my distress, in the midst of my struggle, I hope we serve a God that the Bible says, God with us, he is approachable. He's in relationship with us. You've heard this before, but it's so true. Religion is man's attempt to reach God, but Christianity is God's attempt to reach man. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says this, this way, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I'm going to read you the same verse. That was out of the New King James Version. I'm going to read you the same verse out of the Today's Living Bible, and it goes like this. Thank God for his son, his gift too wonderful for words. This is a season that we stop and we worship the birth of our Savior. A God that's so wonderful, and his birth so wonderful, there is no words to adequately describe the gift of Jesus and his salvation that he gives to us. Much what I preached on 2 weeks ago, that we must never forget the cross in the midst of Christmas, because the birth of Jesus led us to the cross, which brought us salvation. How to have peace of mind, how to have calmness? We focus on Jesus, because this is the season that we remember and are reminded it's all about Jesus. So what I want you to do, I want you to go outside, and I want you to go and walk in the snow, and I want you to lay down in the snow, and I want you to just make some snow angels, and then we forget we're in Texas. No snow angels. So nonetheless, we go outside, we look at the moon, and we focus on the beauty that God created and focus on Jesus. Number two, focus on the heart of Christmas, giving. Luke chapter 6:38 says it this way. Given it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. The greatest joy comes when we learn to serve and we learn to give to people. How many of y'all, it just feels good with no strings attached? And I'm not talking about the Christmas day where, you know, or with the family, you give them a $30 gift certificate and they give you a $30 gift certificate. You know what I'm talking about? But I'm talking about with no, with nothing to gain in return, when you just give, whether it's at Christmas or another time, it just makes you feel so good. How many? It just fills us with all kinds of joy. I mean, feels good to just be givers. It fills us up with joy when we understand the heart of Christmas is that to give. I think the greatest job in the world would be to go out and just bless people all day. I think I'd be the happiest man or we'd be the happiest men and women alive if we could just go out and bless people. We have this chair. If you're my Facebook friend, there's a picture of it, I think, up there. And I can't take credit for this idea because I stole it from somewhere else, Facebook. But when I read about it, I thought, what a marvelous idea, because I constantly look for ways to be light in the midst of darkness. I constantly look for ways to share Jesus without, you know, I don't want to be at the Walmart counter and say, hey, man, you know Jesus? Hallelujah, praise God, woohoo! And he's looking at me like, I'm an atheist, and get thee behind me, Satan, even though I don't want to get all freaky, but I want to create opportunities to be light in the midst of my community around me. And how do I do that? I'm constantly looking for ways to do that. And so one of the ways we did this over the last couple of weeks, we have tons of Amazon and FedEx and tons of packages that are coming to our house. So we put this a chair up with water and Dr. Pepper and our Go Church tokens and our chips, and we just get to watch these UPS drivers come up, and they're busy and they're rushing, and then they look down and then they read it and they're like, no way, that is so cool. I have tons of videos because, you know, we have the Ring, so we get to watch everybody, but I want to show you just one of them. Has it got sound?
How cool is that? Yo. Thank you.
Okay, I want you to rewind that because I want to show you a couple of things. Much as what we did for... No, not yet. Not yet. Stop. All right, we'll get there. Our ushers are coming around and passing out. For BOG Sunday, we passed out these tokens. So one thing that's so great about these tokens is you give them a business card or a piece of paper, invite them to go to church, they're going to throw that down. I've passed so many pieces of paper out, and then I walk down the street after I pass them out, and all of my trash is down the street because they threw them out. But for some reason, a piece of plastic, people just keep far more. And it's just a novelty. It's unique. It has a Christmas tree on one side. We're going to pass these out at the flash mob when we go. But invite someone to next Sunday. Invite them to Christmas Eve and say, hey, you can come after Christmas too. But they're just a little bit more Christmassy. But in just a moment, I want us to watch this. I think there's like 300 of them here. We're going to pass out another couple of hundred at the flash mob. But I want you to watch this. For one, he steps out. When he comes up, he said, yo, how cool is this? That. And then he goes, he puts down the package, and he goes, and the first thing he does is picks up one of these tokens, and he reads it, and then if you watch, he'll stick it in his pocket. This is what I hope. This is what I want God to use these for. There's no spiritual value in this. They can't heal anybody. But I pray what they'll do, they'll put it on their dresser. They're like, man, I don't want to go to church. I'm not interested in that kind of stuff right now. They'll put it on the dresser, and 2 months and 3 months and 4 months and a year, 2 years later, God's beginning to do a work in their life, and they begin to think, man, I need to find. And they look down, and they find this little plastic token. So let me go online and find this church and find out where they're at. Maybe they will have some answers for me to go to. That's what I want these. Not so believe that they're going to create instantaneous results, but they're just the seed. They claim it takes 7 seeds for someone to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. What if your token is just 1 seed? What if it's the 7th seed and they come and make a decision for Jesus? So I want you to show you this. It's just like 13 seconds long, but I want you to hear him and I want you to watch him with the token.
How cool is that? Yo. Thank you.
Just planting a seed. That probably cost us, what, $10, Robin? Create a thing on our front porch, $10? With food, maybe not even that. To be light. You don't have to do that, but constantly look for ways to bless people without any strings attached. and tie Jesus, the core of who we are as believers. Just go out and bless people. A couple of years ago, on Christmas Eve, I was living in Belize at the time, pastoring LifeNet, and a guy showed up at a Christmas Eve service with three boxes, probably 200 Barbies and all kinds of toys that they had passed out all day, but they ran out of time, and he said, could you pass the rest of them out for Christmas? 7 o'clock Christmas Eve night. When are we going to ever have time to pass these out? So me and my girls loaded in the church van, and we drove through the village, and we would see kids walking on the street. Hey, kids, come here, you know, in a van, you know. In the United States, that'd be creepy. We'd be getting arrested, you know. Hey, kids, do y'all want some toys? You want a ball? And we'd throw them a ball, and some of them knew who I was. Oh, pass it in, thank you. It was the funnest thing in the world, and we were able to pass out. I don't know if I'm exaggerating. I remember it being like 200 toys, and we just drove all through the village blessing kids, no strings attached. We just loved them in Jesus' name. Some of them, we got to talk to them about the real meaning of Christmas, and we just had a blast. Find ways to just bless people. Science backs all this up. They've done studies after studies that says when we are givers, when we serve people, we are filled with joy. They've done studies, and they said when you bless someone, it's like eating chocolate. It just feels so good. Now, I have to be careful how I say this in church, but they've done studies, and is when we become givers, it's like the relationship between a husband and a wife, that intimacy that goes on. When we bless someone, their endorphins in our brain, they get excited and joyful when we bless people. Wow, what does that tell us? We want to be filled up with joy. We're struggling. Go out and serve. Go find ways to bless people and just get filled up with so much joy. The happiest people in the world are those who give. Why? Because it aligns us to the heart of God. Because you know this scripture well, for God so loved the world that he gave. The very heart of God is a giving God that loves us, and he wants us to carry that value, that DNA of who he is, and go out and bless people and love people. So when we align ourselves with the heart of God, we get filled up with joy because we're doing what he's called us to do. Let's not reduce it to only money. Give your time. Give your talents. Give your encouragement. You may just need to go to Walmart and walk around. I'm not asking to get too creepy, you know, just smile so big that you look 911. And this man keeps following me with a big smile. And so help me. I'm not asking you to get too freaky, but you know, you can just look at someone and just smile. They're getting so busy and they're crazy and they're grumpy and they're fighting with people and fighting with Amazon. Actually, Amazon's wonderful. And anyway, but they're fighting with different people, and all of a sudden, just a simple smile. Robin went to Walmart about a week ago and just felt the Lord just told her to go and smile at people. And she got three numbers from men. No, I'm joking. And Joking. Did not happen. But she did. She just felt the Lord tell her to go and smile at people. And she said she watched the countenance of women and people and families that were just obviously struggling through their busyness of the day, how the countenance changed by simply giving them a smile. How do we walk in calmness and find joy in the midst of this crazy, crazy season? Focus on the heart of Christmas, to give. And lastly this morning, focus on the attitude of Christmas, and that's joy. Joy to the world. I won't sing it to you. Everybody says amen. Yeah. Paula says thank you. She says thank you. You say sing it. No. All right. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. One scripture, Philippians chapter 2, 17 through 18. The text, before I read it, comes right after Paul is instructing the Philippian church to do all things without complaining. And this is what he says. It's reading out of the God's Word version. My life is being poured out as part of the sacrifice and service I offer to God. for your faith. Yet I am filled with joy, and I share that joy with you all. For this same reason, you also should be filled with joy and share that joy with me. I read somewhere that happiness is a feeling, joy is an attitude. You've heard me say this before, but life is 10% what happens to you and 10% how you respond to it. We all know Christmas can be very stressful. Your angel on top of your tree may fall down because your cat climbed on the tree, crashes to the ground. It's happened in our home, not because a cat did it, but I don't remember how it happened, but our angel crashed. How will you respond? Your 12-year-old, almost 13-year-old daughter may put a ring on the wrong finger on Sunday morning, 15 minutes before you are supposed to start the service, and you don't know if you're going to take her to the ER or not. Do you respond in anger and yell at her, or you just says, hurry up and let's go home and fix this problem? As the oldest daughter, Victoria, videotapes it for Facebook for everybody to see. It is all about attitude. You go home after you've watched on your Ring that you've got been, Amazon had delivered your package, only to find out that a robber also saw that and carried it away. How will you respond? The great thing with Amazon, they'll refund you and get at you another one. Everything you set out to buy because for someone else, you go to Target or to the mall, and nobody has the size that you need anymore. How will you respond? Your dog might run off with a ham. The question, how will you respond? Now, I have a Boston Terrier, but he looks pretty much like that in his eyes when he's looking at our food. How will you respond? Stresses of Christmas, crazy Christmas. Life is 10% what happens to you, and it's 90% how you will react to it. The attitude of Christmas is joy. You choose. You choose. Joy to the world, it's about Jesus. It's about Emmanuel. God came for us. God is with us. We choose whether we are joyful or we will be complaining. So right now, I just want you to stop right here. I want you to breathe. Breathe. Breathe in, breathe out, and choose to rejoice. How do we have peace of mind in this crazy season? We focus on the attitude of Christmas, and that's joy. Would you stand with me this morning? Christmas can get crazy. I think for Joseph and Mary, as much as when we read the Bible, we make it out to be sweet and nice and clean and stress-free, I think their Christmas was pretty stressful. I think there was, in their eyes, not from God's perspective, but in their eyes, there was lots of uncertainty. I think their life is a lot like our life. I think they dealt with the same emotions that we deal with in 2019. How do we solve it? We focus on the meaning of Christmas. His name is Jesus. It is all about God with us. We focus on the heart of Christmas. It is about giving. For God so loved the world that he gave. When we begin to give and serve and love on people, we begin to walk out the values of who God is. And we focus thirdly on the attitude of Christmas. That is joy that we choose to give. For you this morning, is Christmas pretty crazy for you right now? Maybe you've been sick. Maybe there are loved ones away from you right now that you would rather have close to your side. Maybe you're struggling financially. We tend to utopianize our Christmases. We tend to look at all this perfection, and this year I'm going to do it right, and I'm going to do the Christmas tree just right, and my kids are going to help me cook the ham just right, and we're going to do it together. And then when we start doing it, we realize it's just not working that way, and it can get us down. This morning you may be here and you may be stressed out. You may be going through a time of depression. You may be struggling in your walk with God or your walk with people, and that's why we are here as a church, to love on you and pray for you. When our leaders begin to make their way up. And maybe your relationship with Jesus is far away from where it should be right now. What a great season to make it right. If you are here and you realize that your relationship with Jesus is not where it should be, man, would you please, in just a moment, come up? We want to pray with you. If you're struggling with something, you don't necessarily have to share all the details if you don't want to. But man, it's good to partner with somebody else. It's good to go to God with somebody else and pray together. So as Shelly begins to play, if you're sick in body, man, we want to pray for you. Would you just begin to make your way up? Would you come? If you're praying for a family member or a friend that you want to come to know Jesus Christ, would you just join us up here and pray? This is a time we just get as a church to love on one another. Go to God together. If you want to come, would you come? Thank you. If you are in the congregation, if you would just begin to quietly pray for the people that are up here receiving ministry. I believe there are others that just need to come. Just step out and come. Would you just come? Holy God. Thank you, God. Don't be afraid. Lots of ministries going on this morning. Just come. We won't keep you that much longer, but would you just come? If you need to come, just come. We'll just keep you a few more minutes, but would you come? Holy God. Thank you, God. Holy God. God wants to meet you right where you are. Right where you are. Thank you, God. Thank you. Oh, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, for this season can get really crazy for people. Family obligations, financial obligations, stresses trying to do twice as much as we would normally do in this season. But Father, I'm sure Mary and Joseph struggled as well. God, would you show us how to walk it out and celebrate you in the process? Would you remind us to focus on this Christmas on Jesus? Would you remind us to focus on the heart of Christmas, and that's to give, to just be filled up by blessing others? And Father, would we focus on the attitude of Christmas, and that's joy, and would we live that out at Walmart or wherever we go and just celebrate your joy, God? Father, we thank you for that. And Father, for those that are down and struggling, we ask that you would lift up their countenance. They would have the trust of other believers, that we would help them walk through that process, God, and love them. Father, we thank you for doing that in our lives. Father, I thank you for this body right here, that we will go out as an army and just love on people this week. We'll show them the real meaning of Christmas and celebrate you in the midst of it and show them the joy of who you are. And Father, we pray that those in here that may not know you as Lord and Savior, we pray that they would come to know you, that this would be a season that they would make a decision for you, God. Father, we praise you for doing that, God. Thank you for turning our crazy Christmas into a season of rejoicing. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you next week. Have a great week.